This program is a paid commercial announcement and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, my privilege to serve as host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210. WPHT. Given the nature of the week, Holy Week, a week that is precious to many still in this secular world, I thought it would be appropriate to address the pure scripture and hear what the Word of God has to say about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, drawing first upon the Gospel of Mark, beginning in chapter 14 with the 12th verse. Now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He sent two of his disciples and told them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Wherever he enters, tell the owner of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' So he will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." So the disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. Then, when it was evening, he came to the house with the 12. While they were at the table, eating, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, one of you eating with me will betray me." They were distressed, and one by one said to him, "Surely not I." He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who dips his hand with me into the bowl. For the Son of Man will go, as it is written about him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for him if he had never been born." While they were eating, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take it, this is my body." And after taking the cup and giving thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood, the blood of the covenant, that is poured out for many. I tell you the truth, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised, I go ahead of you into Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Even if they all fall away, I will not." Jesus said to him, "I tell you the truth, today, this very night, before a rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I must die with you, I will never deny you." And all of them said the same thing. Then they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to them, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John with him, and became very troubled and distressed. He said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved, even to the point of death. Remain here and stay alert." Going a little farther, he threw himself to the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour would pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible with you. Take this cup away from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Couldn't you stay awake for 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you will not fall into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again and prayed the same thing. When he came again, he found them sleeping. They could not keep their eyes open, and they did not know what to tell him. He came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough of that, for the hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us go. Look, my betrayer is approaching." Right away, while Jesus was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him came a crowd, armed with swords and clubs, sent by the chief priests and experts in the law and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under God." When Judas arrived, he went up to Jesus immediately and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they took hold of him and arrested him. One of the bystanders drew his sword and struck the high priest's slave, cutting off his ear. Jesus said to them, "Have you come with swords and clubs to arrest me like you would an outlaw? Day after day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, yet you did not arrest me. But this has happened so that the scriptures would be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left him and fled. A young man was following, wearing only a linen cloth. They tried to arrest him, but he ran off naked, leaving his linen cloth behind. Then they led Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests and elders and experts in the law came together. And Peter had followed him from a distance up to the high priest's courtyard, where he was found sitting with the guards, warming himself by the fire. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus so that they could put him away and put him to death, but they did not find anything. Many gave false testimony against him, but their testimony did not agree. Some stood up and gave this false testimony against him. "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with hands, and in 3 days build another not made with hands.'" Yet even on this point, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, "Have you no answer? What is this that they are testifying against you?" But he was silent and did not answer. Again the high priest questioned him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" "I am," said Jesus, "and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "Why do we still need witnesses? You have all heard the blasphemy. What is your verdict?" They all condemned him as deserving of death. Then some began to spit on him and to blindfold him and to strike him with their fists, saying, "Prophesy." The guards also took him and beat him. Now while Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the high priest's slave girls came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked directly at him and said, "You also were with that Nazarene, Jesus." But he denied it. "I don't even understand what you're talking about." Then he went out to the gateway, and a rooster crowed. When the slave girl saw him, she began again to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But he denied it again. A short time later, the bystanders again said to Peter, "You must be one of them, because you are also a Galilean." Then he began to curse, and he swore with an oath, "I do not know this man you are talking about." But immediately a rooster crowed a second time, and then Peter remembered what Jesus had said to him, "Before a rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times." and Peter broke down and wept. Brad Lacey with the great message. We return with the scripture in just a moment. Brad Lacey returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We resume, please, with the Gospel of Mark in the aftermath of the arrest of Jesus Christ. Chapter 15, early in the morning, after forming a plan, the chief priests with the elders and the experts in the law and the whole Sanhedrin tied Jesus up, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. So Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He replied, "You say so." Then the chief priests began to accuse him repeatedly. So Pilate asked him again, "Have you nothing to say? See how many charges they are bringing against you." But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. During the feast, it was customary to release one prisoner to the people, whomever they requested. A man named Barabbas was imprisoned with the rebels who had committed murder during an insurrection. Then the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to release a prisoner for them, as was his custom. So Pilate asked them, "Do you want me to release the king of the Jews for you?" For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas instead. So Pilate spoke to them again, "Then what do you want me to do with the one you call the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him." Pilate asked them, "Why? What has he done wrong?" But they shouted more insistently, "Crucify him." Because he wanted to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas for them. Then, after he had Jesus flogged, he handed him over to be crucified. So the soldiers led him into the palace, that is the governor's residence, and called together the whole cohort. They put a purple cloak on him, and after braiding a crown of thorns, they put it on him. They began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again, they struck him on the head with a staff, and they spit on him. Then they knelt down and paid homage to him. When they had finished mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes back on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. The soldiers forced a passerby to carry his cross. Simon, son of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, he was the father of Alexander and Rufus. They brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which is translated place of the skull. They offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. Then they crucified him and divided his clothes, throwing dice for them to decide what each would take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And they crucified two outlaws with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by defamed him, shaking their heads and saying, "Aha, you who can destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, even the chief priests, together with the experts in the law, were mocking him among themselves. "He saved others, but he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also spoke abusively to him. Now, when it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. Around 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he is calling for Elijah." Then someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Leave him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come and take him down." But Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. And the temple curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, when the centurion who stood in front of him saw how he died, he said, "Truly, this man was God's son." There were also women watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joses, and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they had followed him and given him support, and many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were there as well. Drawing upon the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, now on the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women went to the tomb, taking the aromatic spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed, suddenly two men stood beside them in dazzling attire. The women were terribly frightened and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has been raised. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then the women remembered his words, and when they returned from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. But the apostles, to them these words seemed like pure nonsense, and they did not believe them. But Peter, he got up and ran to the tomb, bent down, and saw only the strips of linen cloth. Then he went home, wondering what had happened. Now that very day, two of them were on their way to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about all the things that had happened. And while they were talking and debating these things, Jesus himself approached and began to accompany them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Then he said, "What are these matters you are discussing so intently as you walk along?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him. And she said, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who doesn't know of the things that have happened here in recent days?" He said to them, "What things?" "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, they replied, "a man who with his powerful deeds and words proved to be a prophet before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Not only this, but it is now the third day since these things happened. Furthermore, some women of our group amazed us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back and said they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. So he said to them, 'You foolish people, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Wasn't it necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and enter into glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things written about himself in all the scriptures. Brad Lacey, we will return with the scripture on the other end of the commercial divide. Thank you. Brad Lacey returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Picking up afresh from the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, we read that Jesus and the disciples approached the village where they were going. He acted as though he wanted to go farther, but they urged him, "Stay with us, because it is getting toward evening, and the day is almost done." So he went in to stay with them. And when he had finished his place at the table with them, he took the bread and broke it and gave it to them. At this point, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Then he vanished out of their sight. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us while he was speaking with us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?" So they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them gathered together and saying, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how they had recognized him when he broke the bread. And while they were saying these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified, thinking they saw a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. It's me. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, like you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still could not believe it, because of their joy, and were amazed, he said to them, "Do you have anything to eat?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the Law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it stands written that the Christ would suffer and would rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And look, I am sending you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. Now during the blessing, he departed and was taken up into heaven. So they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple courts praising and blessing God. Drawing, please, upon the book of Acts, the first chapter, beginning in the 12th verse. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath's day walk from the city. And when they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry. With the reward he got for his wickedness, Judas bought a field where he fell headlong, his body bursting open and all his intestines spilling out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field in their language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they proposed two men, Joseph, called Barsabas, also known as Justice, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. So they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one of them heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice, and he addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will turn to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Brad Lacey returning with the scripture in just a moment. Brad Lacey returning with one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, picking up afresh with the Word of God from the Gospel, or rather the Book of Acts, the second chapter. David said about this Jesus, "I saw the Lord always before me, and because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet, and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.' Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 people were added to their number that very day. And this is the Word of God. Friends, I tell you, I grew up in the Boston area, spending the first 27 years of my life surrounded quite literally by four, you can count them, four cemeteries. We lived adjacent to the Jewish cemetery. Behind us by one block was the large, sprawling, and very aesthetically pleasing non-denominational. Adjacent to that, where I took many a prayer walk, was a small Protestant, very naturally attractive setting. And on the other side of the street, behind them, a large, sprawling Roman Catholic cemetery. And I can tell you that while we had many neighbors, we never met any of them. None of them had ever physically risen from those gravesites. And I speak with all due respect and reverence of the dead, and for those who grieved their loss. I was raised up by a Welsh family, all of whom, each and every one, would go down long and hard on an annual basis. I spent many a day or an evening in a hospital or a nursing home, or for that matter, in a funeral parlor. But what I can tell you is this, that it makes all of the difference in the world as one placed his or her trust in Jesus Christ, because there is beyond the grave a hope, a hope that is living, and a hope that is active, and a hope that is power-based, if you will. Because as the great apostle has put it in his letter to the Ephesians, he would pray for all who would call upon the name of Jesus, that we would know the power of the resurrection of our beloved Savior. And it was from the very lips and heart of our beloved Savior who said, "I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me shall live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." To which Jesus added the rejoinder by way of an interrogative, "Do you believe this?" And I know on faith and from experience that it helps beyond measure if you do. A mere 2 years ago, having undergone massive and major cardiac surgery at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, I came through the surgery with flying colors. I returned home to Philadelphia, only to discover and to experience during that first weekend home that my heart would twice go into an horrendous reaction to all that had transpired. And during the second round, and I can't even begin to describe the symptoms, during that second round, I knew in my heart, and I cried out to God as such, that if he did not deliver me from this within the hour, he would need to be ready to receive me. Praise the Lord, he delivered me, and I remain here, not simply to tell the story, but to speak this message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of him who died for our sins, and who has risen from the dead, who has ascended into the heavens, where he now resides at the right hand of the Father. And as he does, he is doing two things. Praise God, he is preparing a place for us who place our trust in him. And he is interceding or praying on our behalf before the Father. I don't know about you, but I know for myself to know that Christ, the risen, resurrected Son of God, now dwelling in glory, for him to be praying for me is an extraordinary thing. He is praying for you as well. Indeed, would you allow me this privilege on this holy weekend to lead you in this prayer? Gracious and holy Father, you have proved to be, if ever there were doubt, an authentic and true Father, as we have learned, painfully but also productively, when we broke ranks from you in disobedience and rebellion, through our self-induced sinful natures, proclivities, and behaviors, you have loved us still. Thank you, Father, for speaking your word of life to us, for caring and caring for and guiding your people down through the centuries, both Jew and Christian. You have always been well-disposed lovingly to the widow, to the orphan and alien. You've never forsaken the poor in spirit or the humble in heart, and no cry that goes forth goes undetected, unheard, or unanswered by you. Thank you, Father, for being faithful always, for always abiding with those who look to you, always providing and protecting, always teaching and leading, forgiving and delivering. You are gracious and good, along with being glorious and powerful. Thank you for never being aloof in the heavens, but for walking alongside of us as we live out our lives. You could have left us to our own sinful devices, but you chose to save us. I thank you, loving and devoted Father, that you sent your Son Jesus to die in our place, to shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins, to take upon himself our sin, so that he could impart to us his righteousness. Thank you also, most wise and benevolent Father, that your Holy Spirit is available through the finished and complete work of salvation of Christ on the cross, and that his operative power is also at work that makes real that same gift of salvation. Gracious God, I thank you for those who listen to this broadcast. I pray that you bless each and every one in the knowledge and in the love and truth of Jesus Christ. I pray for your church, Father, that you will awaken us, each and every one of us, to our high calling. and I pray for this country as it urgently needs to repent of waywardness and desperately needs sanity to be restored. We need a good, old, ever-fresh dose of that resurrection power. And Father, I pray for this radio station that you will honor it for giving allowance for your gospel to go across its airwaves. I ask you to bless this audience. I ask you to bless David, who brought us on board. I ask you to bless Frank, who needs healing. RJ and Bill, who have worked with me. Bless them, their families, their work. Bless this station. We give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, everyone. Have a blessed Easter.
This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.